The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I have often wondered what words and thoughts got left out of stories in the Bible. What were some of the main characters thinking or saying when we read about them? Well, here are some of my guesses. Moses, frantically running around saying, "Where did I leave the fire extinguisher?" Noah's son bursts into the family at breakfast and blurts out, "Dad, have you heard the weather report?" St. Paul looks at his GPS and thinks, "Which road should I take to Damascus?" And of course, Mary and Joseph show up at Bethlehem, and Mary says, "I told you you should have made a reservation." In today's gospel, two guys are standing in the main square, and one of them says, "Jesus is coming to town. Hold on to your wallet." Jesus had gained a reputation for telling people to give up their possessions. And in this story this morning, The young man who runs up to Jesus and asks him what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus responds by running through the commandments. And the man assures him that he has kept them all. And Jesus looks at him, loved him. But then he added the zinger. You lack one thing. Go sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then, come and follow me. The man was shocked and left grieving, for he had many possessions. Jesus then piles it on. How hard for those with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. What are we to make of this? We are not about to give up all our possessions. We, with the original disciples, might well ask, then who can be saved? This is one of those passages, not the only one, like many in the Bible, that makes us squirm. We know that it is not possible for a camel to get through the eye of a needle, but Jesus reassures us that with God all things are possible. Now, at one point in church history, we found a way out of the whole thing. There was, it was said, a small gate coming into Jerusalem called the Eye of the Needle. And this gate was not quite big enough for a camel to get through when it was fully loaded. So they'd unload the cargo and squeeze the camel in. It's a tight fit, but you could make it. Now, there's only a couple problems with this story. First of all, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to build a gate that wasn't big enough for the camel to get through. Like building the Lincoln Tunnel, but not making room for trucks. The other problem was that no one ever heard this story before the 9th century. So, we're still squirming. There's no easy or safe way out. But as with so much of what Jesus says and does, we have an opportunity to ponder some basic aspects of life. In this case, I think we are facing some basic questions about our relationship to our possessions. Do we have control of our possessions, or do they control us? What do we do with our possessions? What are they for? What's wealthy? What is rich? Let's begin by admitting that by most standards, past and present, most of us here this morning would be considered rich. We have wealth and possessions beyond our basic needs of food and shelter. And let's not immediately interject that we are just modestly middle class and it's other people. It's always other people who are wealthy. It's other people who are rich. In fact, I've read that surveys show that no matter how much wealth you have, you always think you're not... There's people with more. The rich people, the wealthy, that's somebody else. That's not me. So let's not pretend then that Jesus is talking about other folks who might well have more than we do. He is challenging each and every one of us to escape the tyranny of being possessed by our possessions. He wants us to think more about what we can, will, and should give up than how to hang on to everything we already have. That may not be the natural way, but it is the right way. Jesus so often turns the world upside down. Today's gospel ends with this counterintuitive declaration. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus is always sticking the poor and the marginalized in front of us and calling us to love and care for them. When he calls on the rich man to give up his money and give to the poor, it echoes in Matthew 25, which declares that we are judged by what we do or do not do to aid the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, all those who are least among us. And Jesus, after all, is the culmination of the great prophets of the Hebrew scripture, like Amos. In today's lesson, Amos rails against those who trample on the poor, those who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and push aside the needle in the gate. He calls upon us to hate evil and love good, establish justice at the gate. And I would submit those words were no more welcome in his day than they are in ours. Yet to me, the message of the prophets, the message of Jesus, the message of the church, when it is authentic and true to our Lord, is exhilarating, it's dynamic, it's revolutionary, it's inspiring. It calls us not to conform to any society or culture that tramples the poor and neglects the needy in favor of the dominant few. I've always remembered a statement by a Christian writer I read many, many decades ago. He wrote, the church is the only institution that exists primarily for those who are not its members. There's a profound truth right in line with what Jesus and the prophets are all about. All of which is not to say we don't get something out of our participating in the life of the church, in the life of our community of faith. But it always disturbs me to hear anyone say they gave up church because they weren't getting anything out of it. What Jesus calls us to do is participate in the church, his body, seeking to bring him into today's world. Yes, hold on to your wallet, because Jesus asks you to open it and give. And more broadly, he asks us to open our lives to his life-giving message and to give what and how we can to bring the light of his gospel into the darkness of the world. So together, we must never forget that the church truly is the only institution that exists primarily for those who are not its members. Our task may seem impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen.